Good morning. It's good to see all of you today, especially some of the students that are back. I know a lot of the students will be making their way back today, but those of you who made it in today, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're back. It's been very quiet without you, so thanks for coming back. No, it's been good, but we missed you. And if you are new, if you're a transfer-in student or a new freshman, and you're looking for a church home, I hope you'll consider Ridgeview. I hope that you'll And the reason I hope that is not just so that you'll be here on Sundays. I hope that because I believe with all my heart that if you plug in here, you'll be discipled, you'll grow in Christ, you'll grow in the knowledge of God's grace, and hopefully you'll leave here seeking to make much of Christ with your life. And so I invite you to consider Ridgeview as your home. And I'm available to talk to you if you'd like to meet me. We're having a meal right after this. This service, and everybody's invited. And even if you didn't bring anything, just come and I'd love to talk to you and tell you more about the church. A couple things I want to say. Just a real quick thing. Our home group launches again tonight. We've taken a little break. I think the other home groups are too, but you have to check with your leader. If you're looking for a home group, at least ours. We would love to have you come. I don't think the Wyatts want you. No, I'm just kidding. Are you having your home group tonight? So yeah, the Wyatts are having their home group tonight too, and you can check with your leader as far as that goes. But we are having it 450 Moorhead Street if you'd like to come, 6 o'clock. And it'll be a great time. And lastly and not leastly, actually a really significant thing for the life of our church, Jim Varvel, who's been an elder since 2012, has stepped down from being an elder, citing personal reasons, and he is open to talk to you if you have questions about that. He's open to answer questions. Those of us on the elder team, will miss Jim's input. It has been just a joy to serve together at that level. They're still here. We're going to keep serving together, but at that level, it's been really, really a sweet time to work together. All of the time that I've been pastor here, he's been an elder here, and so we'll be sad for his input not to be there, but effective immediately, so he stepped down. And thank you on behalf of the church. Thank you for your service all these years, Jim. Okay, so we are going to read the word. So if you have your Bibles with you, open them to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. If you don't have a Bible, we keep them in the seats there. You can have that. We also display it. The Word of God says this: praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me, and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, let's pray again, and then we'll dive in. Father, we sang a moment ago the gospel. We sang the hope that we stand on, that you sent the Son, Jesus Christ, who lived a righteous life, who stood in our place on the cross and died for us, and that all who have faith in you, all who have faith in Christ now are made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, what a gracious God that you are. And through that gospel, now we have an open line of communication so that as we pray right now, you hear. Amazing grace. Oh, Father, as we dig into prayer today, I ask that you would move in our hearts and you would challenge and you would encourage. You would challenge us in our prayerlessness and you would edify us and encourage us in the gracious gift of prayer. That we have your ear by your grace. Thank you. And help me, Father, to preach this well. Help me to be clear. Help the gospel to be clear. Your word to be clear. And move by your Spirit. I am aware that nothing happens outside of your Spirit moving. And so, Father, move by your Spirit. Do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't think I'll ever forget the last days of December 2004. And it was kind of funny. Yesterday, a guy came over to watch a football game with us. And I asked him, just, I was thinking about this thing. I was thinking about this, how I was going to set this up. And I said, hey, do you remember the big things that happened in 2004? And he said, well, let me stop you right there, Mike. I was four in 2004. Me too. I won't forget it. I won't forget 2004. Many of you won't. I remember the early morning hours of December 27. I sat down at my computer in my little study in my apartment in Siberia. Maya and I, my wife, we were missionaries there. And I fired up my laptop to check the news, and I waited for my dial-up to, you know, load the page. And then I found out that a gigantic tsunami had wiped 220,000 lives from this earth. Anyone remember that? It was, I don't know how much it was like on our minds at the time, because 2004 was a hard year, like a really hard year. I know in my home state, Florida, it was a really hard year for them. They had three hurricanes. My mom's house had a huge hole in the side of it from one of them. I mean, it was a hard year. I don't know how it was for you and how it was here in Nebraska. It was a drought. I read that. 2004 was tough. But that Boxer Day tsunami came the last day. America was fighting two wars in 2004. My brother and a few of my cousins were about to be deployed to the Middle East. They would be in 2005. Life was tough all over the world in 2004. And then in the final day of this year, a massive wave, because of an earthquake, washed away villages and the people who lived in them. I remember thinking, oh Lord, this was a hard year. What will 2005 bring? Will it be another hard year? Will it be harder? You know, since 2004, I have felt that feeling almost every year. Hard things give way to hard things, don't they? That's just life. And I think you know what I mean. We face our own little and big tsunamis every year. And my sense is that in 2020, it'll be that way too. The world is not getting easier. And we don't have a guarantee in the scriptures that tomorrow will be easier than today. We don't. The scriptures do not say that it's just going to get easier and easier. Here's the truth that we have from scriptures. One day Jesus will return, and when he does, he will set all things right. That's the hope we look forward to. But in that waiting, life continues to bring on tsunamis. So likely in 2020, if the Lord tarries, Christians around the world will continue to suffer persecution. The persecuted church is bigger than it has ever been in the history of the church. In 2020, Christian missionaries will be kicked out of countries like China, like what's happening now in China. It will continue to happen in places like China and other places, places that don't want Christianity. And missionaries are being kicked out. Some will simply give up and come home. In 2020, churches in the U.S. and around the world will continue to divide. That's going to happen. And likely in 2020, if the Lord tarries, as it was in 2019, more well-known and prominent Christians and Christian leaders will fall away from Jesus Christ. And other trials will come, likely. As a nation, I mean, the reality is we might go to war in 2020, along with all the hardships and spiritual battles that that brings. There might be businesses that are very important to you that will fail. Marriages this year might crumble. We might go through the grief of seeing children whom we love walk away from the faith. Illnesses might come to light this year, and that might be the new reality for many. I wouldn't be a good pastor if I stood here and offered you a promise that 2020 would be easy. And that the spiritual battles that you have waged and fought in this last decade will not be present in the decade to come. We want to say, look, it's a new year. Clean slate. It's going to be better. But I can't say it that way. So what are we to do as Christians in light of that reality? In light of the tsunamis that are to come? That's the question we've been answering from the Bible for the last couple of weeks. Actually, since the last decade. Anyway, I may use that a lot. That's just me. For the last couple of weeks, this is why I came here. This is why I came to this passage, because I wanted to prepare our hearts for this next decade that might be very hard. The answer to the reality that life is hard is right here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. It is to be strong in the Lord in 2020 and in the power of His might. And we do that, according to this passage, by putting on the whole armor of God. A couple of weeks ago, in light of this, we talked about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the shoes of the readiness of the gospel and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then last week, Devin took us a little deeper with that last one I mentioned, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And he brought us to Psalm 119 to do that. The answer to the reality that we live in, the real life spiritual war that we're in all the time, that is ours to fight, is to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And we strengthen ourselves by wearing the armor. That's how God has said that we strengthen ourselves, by wearing His armor. So today we're pressing into the final item of our kit, and that's prayer. Prayer is the final weapon that Paul commands us to fight the spiritual battle with. Prayer is the final piece of kit that we put on so that we are strong in the Lord. I hope to be able to do two things with this sermon, with this text, Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. I hope to challenge us as a church to be a praying people. And along with that, I hope to challenge you as a Christian to be a person who prays, a praying Christian. It's almost a redundancy, isn't it? A Christian should be a praying Christian. Christians pray. This ought to challenge all of us in 2020 to be a people of prayer. You cannot be strong in the Lord and be prayerless. You cannot do it. The two incompatible realities. Prayerlessness goes with weakness. You want to be strong in the Lord? You need to pray, and you need to learn to pray. So I think this ought to be a good challenge for all of us, and I hope this will challenge us to be intentional in 2020 about prayer. All prayer in the Spirit. And second, I want to encourage you with the strength-giving and the hope-giving and the life-changing reality of prayer. I just listed off a lot of grim possibilities for this new year. 2020 has the potential to be very discouraging and disheartening year for you and for me, if we're not careful. But we have prayer. Owing only to God's grace to us in Christ, we have a line opening to a listening God, a God who hears and moves in response to prayer. We can bring Him our petitions for our own needs and the supplications for the needs of others by God's grace. And really, it's all because of the gospel, right? It is through the justifying and reconciling work of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. We, all who have faith in Christ, have God's ear. Jesus brought us into friendship with God again, and now we can pray. That ought to be a tremendously encouraging and comforting thought to you as you face all the unknowns in 2020. You can go to God in prayer. I want us to be strong in the Lord in 2020. And to that end, I've decided that the best thing for us is to challenge us to pray and to encourage us in the privilege and the grace and the advantage that we have in prayer. So let's do this. Let's press into this passage, and may God do His work in our hearts through His Word. So one of the things we teach people when we teach them to study the Bible is we say, hey, you should look for repeated words. When you're reading the Bible and you're trying to understand like a main idea, like what the author meant, there's a lot of things you can do. We just taught a seminar on that. I think I'm going to teach a seminar here soon on it. But one of the things we say to do is look for things that are repeated. Look for repeated words. The biblical writers repeated things for the same reasons we repeat things. because we want to emphasize certain realities, certain truths. One of the repeated words here in verse 18 is the word all. Look at it. Praying at all times, with all prayer and supplication, keeping alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. You see what he's doing there? Paul wants us to embrace prayer as this big and general weapon to be wielded broadly. And he wants us to wield it all the time. Maybe you've read the classic book by John Bunyan called Pilgrim's Progress. Have you read that? Anyone read that? Really? It's a new book. It came out in the 1700s. It's really good, okay? Don't let that turn you off. Here's a challenge. Read good books in 2020. Read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, one of the best Christian books ever written. It's pretty awesome. It's an allegory of the gospel. The main character is Christian, and he walks... Anyway, you got to read it. I think it's one of the best books ever. In Pilgrim's Progress, the final weapon, okay, so this main character, Christian, he's brought into this armory, okay, and he's let in, and this is an obvious nod to this passage, but he's told to suit up. There's a pile of weapons there, and he's told to, hey, put all this on because you're going to need it. You're going to need this. The war is real. And so he's told to put on the sword and the shield and the helmet and the belt. And then he's told to put on all prayer, one word, all prayer with a hyphen. It's like a part of his armor, all prayer. Christian's told to suit up and to make sure he takes all prayer with him. He's going to need that weapon when he goes into the valley of the shadow. And he is assured that all prayer is a powerful weapon. Let's think about that weapon. Let's consider the four alls in verse 18 of all prayer and what it means to pray in this all-encompassing way in the Spirit. All prayer in the Spirit. It's the final part of our kit of spiritual warfare. So let's figure out what it means. The first all has to do with all times and circumstances and seasons. Which seasons require prayer? Are we urged to pray when the going is tough? Or are we urged to pray when things aren't tough? They're easy. We have those seasons too. Are we urged to pray? Like, which situations warrant prayer? Should spring be the time when we pray the most? Or maybe the winter because it's gray and cold. Maybe morning is the best season to pray. Maybe day, maybe night. When should we pray? And of course the answer is all of those times. We pray in the Spirit at all times. And I think he means, very specifically, in all situations, in every problem that we face, in every problem that others face. It means every season we go through in life. It is broad and general and all-encompassing. Pray at all times. You do not face a time or situation or circumstance in which you do not need to pray. In which you do not need to wield all prayer in the Spirit as your weapon. It's helpful in the valley of the shadow, but we need it everywhere in life. The second all is with all prayer and supplication. He uses a couple different words that mean prayer. Supplication, prayer. They're different kinds of prayer technically, but I don't think he really wants us to get technical with this. I don't think he wants us to try to parse out the different ways to pray. Simply because of the sweeping way he's writing this, I think his aim is to be general and broad and inclusive. And I think what he means is pray in every way, with every kind of prayer. Pray and bring your petitions for yourself and your needs. Pray and bring your petitions for others, your supplications for others. Pray in every situation and use every kind of prayer. I can spend time here just unpacking the different kinds of prayer. You know, confession, adoration, petition, supplication. But Paul doesn't do that here, so we'll just stick to what his aim is, what I think his aim is. And that is to impress upon us the need to pray at all times with every sort of prayer. The third all is to pray with all perseverance. And here the writer kind of revisits the wartime language he was using earlier in this passage, closer to verse 10. We all know much is at stake in this spiritual war that we're in. And so Paul urges us to keep alert, keep praying. Don't give up when the bullets start flying. Don't quit when you're tired. Don't throw in the towel when you're weary, when it looks like you're losing, or when it feels like God is not listening. Don't quit. Instead, keep alert. Keep your head in the game. Pray with all perseverance, like a soldier, tenaciously doing his part to hold the line in the thick of battle. Keep praying. And the final all is for all the saints. We pray for all the saints. So we pray all the time in every circumstance. We pray all in every sort of prayer. We pray with all perseverance, and we pray for all the saints. I don't know. You probably don't like these because I do, but you ever heard those silly Chuck Norris jokes? Anyone like Chuck Norris jokes? How many push-ups can Chuck Norris do? All of them. All of them. How many Christians do Christians pray for? All of them. We pray for frontline missionaries who are learning languages and building cultures, bridging cultures, and bringing the gospel to people, groups who don't have it or didn't have it before. And we pray for the elderly and unwell people in our church who can't get out like they used to. The older gentleman I prayed with right before this service as he had to go home because he wasn't feeling well. We pray for them. We pray for frontliners, and we pray for the elderly. We get on our knees before God for pastors and elders and teachers and evangelists. And we pray for new parents in the church who are trying to figure out how to do life with a baby in their home and who doesn't sleep at night. We pray for the one who just received a hard diagnosis. And we pray for our healthy and seemingly fine teenagers. We pray for women. We pray for men. We pray for old. We pray for young. We pray for those up front and for those behind the scenes. We pray for all the saints. We pray for the difficult ones and the ones that are easy to get along with. My friends, it ought to be your first reaction when you think of other Christians. How can I pray for him or for her? What needs do they have? How can I lift up what they really need to God? How can I lift them up before God so that they will keep loving God and keep treasuring God as their supreme treasure in life and have the strength to wage this war when things are hard? And you know, just as a quick aside, if you're really struggling with someone, like an interpersonal thing with another brother or sister in Christ, a lot of things might need to be done, but my experience has been that one really good way that God can help you with your bad thoughts in that situation is that you can seriously commit that brother or sister to God in prayer. When you get before God with that person's needs on your mind, and you're supplicating, you're asking God, would you help them? Would you move? Would you act? Those hard feelings kind of melt. But with that in mind, if I tell you I'm praying for you, don't read into that. We pray all the time and every kind of prayer with all perseverance and for all the saints. Our final weapon in this kit for this war, the final thing that we take up so that we can be strong in the strength of the Lord in light of what we will face together in 2020 is all prayer. But it's not just all prayer. It's not just all prayer. It's all prayer in the Spirit. So what does that mean? What is the phrase, in the Spirit? How does that add to our understanding of what this means? What is this all prayer in the Spirit? There are several passages that helped me understand what Paul means here, and I want to read two of them. It's going to be 1 Corinthians 12:3, and then after that, Romans 8:26 through 27. And we won't go deep with either of those passages. We're going to just go there to understand two things that I think will help us understand what that phrase, in the Spirit, means, and what it means for us when we pray in the Spirit. So, 1 Corinthians 12:3. Says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit, note the phrase there, in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, first off, we know that Paul is not talking about just mere verbiage. He's not just talking about words, right? He means that no one can say and mean these things. No one can say and mean and believe that Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, no one says that. And no one speaking in the Holy Spirit can say and mean Jesus is accursed. Why? Why can't they say it in the Spirit? Well, two reasons. First, when we speak in the Holy Spirit, we're speaking in harmony with the Spirit of God. So no one speaking in the Holy Spirit can say Jesus is accursed, because that's not in keeping with the Spirit of God, right? That's not in harmony with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God doesn't believe that, and so you can't say that in the Spirit. People say that. People say that all the time. They say Jesus is not Lord. Jesus is accursed. They blaspheme Jesus' name. You can say it in the flesh, but you can't say it in the Spirit, because it's not in harmony with the Spirit. You cannot say things in the Spirit that are not in harmony with the Spirit. Speaking, and I think praying in the Spirit, is speaking and praying in harmony with the Spirit. And second, and you could also see this in this passage, and in the next one we're going to read, 1 Corinthians 12:3, you can see it though, and then in Romans. When we speak in the Holy Spirit, it means we're speaking in a way that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul said you can't say and mean and believe that Jesus is Lord apart from the work of the Spirit, apart from being in the Spirit. But if you're speaking in the Spirit, you can and you will say that. You will say Jesus is Lord. So let's note those two things. In the Spirit means in harmony with the Spirit of God. And it means empowered by the Spirit of God. And there isn't a reason to think that Paul means something different by that phrase in Ephesians than he does in 1 Corinthians when he uses the phrase in the Spirit. Therefore, here's what I think. When we pray in the Spirit, we pray things that are in harmony with God and His Spirit and His will and His character, and we pray empowered by the Spirit. Let's go a little deeper with that. How do we know what's in harmony with God? How do you know how to pray things that are in harmony with the Spirit of God and with what God wants? I think one way Paul kind of mentioned right before this verse, Ephesians 6:17, he said, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God helps us to understand what's in harmony with the Spirit. So we know we shouldn't pray that our covetous desires would be fulfilled, right? We know that that would be out of step with God, right? That isn't praying in the Spirit. And we know we shouldn't pray harm for someone that we don't like, right? We want God to hurt them because we don't like them. We know not to pray that way because the Word of God doesn't go there, right? It doesn't. That's not in harmony with God's Word. Our biblical awareness, what we know of the Bible, should rise up and say, that's not the right way to pray. It's not in harmony with the Spirit. That's not in the Spirit. But then sometimes, right? Sometimes we just don't know what God is doing. I know you've been there. You've been in a situation. You have no idea what God is doing. How do I pray in this situation? I don't know. What then? How do I pray in the Spirit when I don't know what God is up to? Well, turn with me to Romans 8:26. This passage gives us a behind-the-scenes look at what praying in the Spirit looks like. So it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So praying in the Spirit is praying in harmony with the Spirit and energized by the Spirit. And sometimes we don't even know what it looks like, right? We don't even know how to pray. But we can read that and pray with boldness, knowing that the Holy Spirit will intercede for us with groanings that can't be uttered. He will make it clear to God. We can trust God through His Spirit that He can work even through our inept, even through our possibly inaccurate, even through our weak praying to bring about God's effective and powerful will for the saints. Praying in the Spirit is praying in harmony with the Spirit of God, and it's praying that is energized and enabled and interceded by the Spirit of God. So let's put it together. We pray in the Spirit all the time, in all sorts of ways, with all perseverance, for all the saints, and God works powerfully through that praying to accomplish His will in our lives and in the lives of others. I mean, what an amazing thing prayer is. The final weapon in our kit for this spiritual war is not the least thing you can do when it comes to the Christian life. Prayer is a powerful weapon to be wielded at all times by every believer, for every believer, through every difficulty, in every circumstance. Now, before we wrap this up, I want you to see that these are not mere words for Paul. It's not the kind of, and I don't mean to be really cynical here, but it's not the kind of empty Christianese that we often use, sadly. You know, it kind of just rolls off our tongues. We say, I'll pray for you. And sometimes we don't give another thought about that thing again. That ought not to be, but it is sometimes, right? Sometimes we don't really value the prayers of others. Like somebody says, I'm praying for you, and you don't value it. And I think part of that is because functionally, like where the heart is, you don't really believe in the effectiveness of prayer. We doubt it sometimes. We kind of sort of don't really believe that it's something real and powerful. But Paul really believed it. You can see that in what he says in verses 19 and 20. And also pray for me, this is back in Ephesians 6, also pray for me that words may be given to me and in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul believed in the effectiveness of believers praying in the Spirit. He believed that if they would pray, God would move so that Paul could be bold in his proclamation of the gospel, as he proclaimed this mystery, so that his hearers would be enabled to see the gospel, the mystery revealed in Christ, the mystery that we are made right before God by his grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Paul wanted his hearers to understand the cross, where Jesus died in our place, and he wanted them to understand the empty tomb, where Christ defeated death forever for you and for me. He wanted to be bold in speaking these truths. And so he said, you pray, my brothers and sisters in Ephesus, and I will be enabled by God through your prayers to boldly proclaim the mystery of Christ in this jail cell. He's in jail. That's why he says ambassador in chains. Paul deeply believed in prayer. So I see here a challenge and an encouragement for us in 2020. The challenge, I think, is pretty straightforward. And I'll just ask it like this, just to make you squirm just a little bit. Like, how's your prayer life? Based on that feeling that you had when I asked that question, will you take this passage to heart? Let it be the kind of challenge that it needs to be? So that you can be strong in the Lord in 2020. God, through this passage, has taken us into his armory, and he's saying plainly, suit up. It's coming. 2020's here, right? We're day 12. Wow. Decade's almost over. It's here, though. Real things. This is a real life. The war is real. Some of you have felt it. All of you will. Suit up. And don't forget all prayer in the Spirit. One of the most important weapons. That's the challenge. And the encouragement here is massive too, right? I was texting a friend about a problem I was feeling this week. struggling through, and he wrote back, keep praying, God will work. Keep praying, and God will work. And I was texting the same day another friend about a problem that he was feeling and that he was going through and struggling through. And so I texted him, keep praying, God will work. Keep praying, God will work. And the only reason that those words are not trite and empty and useless and Christianese is because I've been reading this book and I know and I can see plainly and powerfully the wonder and the grace and the effectiveness of praying in the Spirit. Keep praying. God will work. This ought to be massively encouraging to you, my friends. You have God's ear. If you are in Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ alone, like if your faith is in Christ, he's made you righteous. He's brought you back into friendship with God. And you have God's ear. You're his child. A child can speak to his father. You can speak to God. Massively encouraging. You can pray, and when you do in harmony with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, God hears and moves and acts. Your prayers become part of the means that God uses to accomplish his good for you and for others and in this world. So, Christian, take up all prayer in the Spirit. You're going to need it in the shadow of the valley. You're going to need it everywhere. But you're going to need it there. You're going to need it in 2020. You're going to need it in this church. You're going to need it in your life. Let's be a people who pray corporately, individually, for our good, for the good of the church, for the good of saints, and for the glory of God. Now we're going to close here, and I've asked John Dockweiler to come and pray for us, pray with us, lead us in prayer.